We continue to follow some breaking news. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich has been impeached. Let's go over to Contessa with more on that. Contessa.
David, we're expecting now, we're being told that Rod Blagojevich is going to hold a news conference here, 3 p.m. Eastern time, so a little more than 3 hours, where he's going to talk about...
Get on the phone. Get on the phone. Today. Yeah, well, listen, you tell that motherfucker.
No.
I don't care if he is the governor of my ass.
I will not.
I don't care about no impeachment either.
I will.
3 p.m. is our time.
I will not take that as an answer. I will not take that as an answer. We've been through this before. I don't know how clear we have to be.
Well, listen. Here's my point, okay? I don't care if he appreciates us pushing the show back, because we're not going to do it anymore. You tell him that.
Yeah, we're on top of this here. All right, we're on to you, and we know that you're trying to screw us. All right, we know. So why don't you just listen to me for once?
You tell
okay?
that hands he has that we are not going to back down from this. I don't care if he's the governor of Illinois or Illa-fucka-fucka.
Okay, that's one brown rice, one white rice, and two lunch specials. I don't... Yes, the same address. Jesus.
Hey, we're coming to you live from the break room at Illa-fucka-fucka. Welcome to Break Room Live. I'm Mark Maron. That's Sam Cedar, who grew up in Illa-fucka-fucka, Massachusetts. On the show today, everything old is new again, my friends. A Bush leaves office and record jobless numbers roll in. Also, all you unemployed, don't worry if you packed on the holiday pounds. Now you fatties can join the Army. The Army needs you. Plus, the always hilarious, in all the wrong reasons, Sam could have been somebody. We'll also take your IMs and emails during the post-show live chat. That is right here on breakroomlive.com. Sam Cedar, big day.
Wait, what do you mean, in all the wrong reasons?
Brendan wrote this.
Why is it all the wrong reasons?
Where?
He said, plus the always hilarious in all the wrong reasons, which is also actually...
Oh, Sam could have been somebody?
I don't know.
Well, no, because it's hilarious, despite the fact that you try to get ironic distance from it, that there really is no distance because you did it. So we all get to laugh at you for these horrendous mistakes you made in your career.
Who's trying to be ironic about it?
You are.
I'm doing this as a way of... This is basically my way of, like, auditioning for another sitcom.
This is another big day, folks. I'm here to tell you, and this is official, that... I deposited the last amount of money that I owed my wife today. That's done. It's over. Finito de comedia. Over. I also would like to say I went on Opie and Anthony today, and what I did on Opie and Anthony will never happen again. The only time I'm going to refer to my divorce...
Just give the link.
I don't have the link. The only time I'm going to refer to my divorce from this point on is in my one-person show or just in one sentence. It's over. She's out of my heart. She's out of my heart. Isn't that a song? It is. She's out of my life. I think it is a song.
I don't think it is.
What are you talking about? It is a song.
Oh, we should start off by saying
thank you
to Judy Barone, who gave us
some presents.
Some great gifts that... First I should start with Jessica Ramberg, who gave me that tea tree oil soap
for my
eczema.
And Paige Tashner, who gave me a giant hula hoop, which we will show me using soon.
But like I said, Judy Barone actually gave us some gifts. We do? We have footage of it? All right, let's take a look.
All right, so this is nice. So, Sam, this lady, Judy Barone... sent us a chia herb garden, which I think I should take because I do the cooking.
Dude.
What?
No, she sent you the chia herb garden. She sent me these pens and this green room notebook.
Oh, so she knows that, like, I like to cook, and she knows that you need to organize better and maybe write some of your stuff out so you don't babble and drone on. That's a very sensitive and perceptive, intuitive gift.
Or maybe she's saying that I am diligent and do work and go through a lot of pens and a lot of notebooks, and you just play with your chia pet.
Yeah, but that's where she's wrong, because I've never seen you write anything down, ever.
Well, because usually I use my computer, but now I have pens.
Okay, Sam.
Okay.
Why do you always got to have an answer? Always got to have a smart answer. Always got to have a smart answer. You don't write anything down. You underline shit. You are an underliner. You're not a writer. You're an underliner. I have chia herbs. Fuck all of you.
This is why I discourage people from sending us gifts. I mean, it always ends like this. Always.
We got to do the glasses contest.
Well, the glasses still time, poll. Sam. There's still
time. Well, maybe we'll do it on Monday. But I got my old glasses back.
Oh, my God.
We get it.
Janine? What?
Janine?
What are you doing here?
I just needed some more sugar substitute packets.
Oh, well, shit.
I always come in here and I try and do it without seeing you guys. I didn't know you were going to be in here today.
Janine, you come in here to
steal
to
sugar packets? What are you, an old Jewish woman?
I love Splenda.
Oh, my God. Do you know what Splenda does, Janine?
Cancer?
No. Anal leakage.
Oh, that's okay.
Put a mic on her. Let's have her sit down.
Yeah, Janine,
oil
sit down.
Oil in my pants, song in my heart. That's what I say.
Oil in my pants, song
you know, we're
in my
doing
heart.
A show, actually, now.
Oh.
This is where we do our show.
Do you want to come?
Are you going to tell Mark Green that I'd come in for the sugar packs?
He might come in here, and he'll expect you to pay for them.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Janine Garofalo, yeah. Ladies
Janine Garofalo.
And gentlemen.
Oh, my God. Have you ever heard of that song, She's Out of My Life, by Michael Jackson?
No, I haven't.
It's fine.
Michael Jackson?
That song's in my head for some reason.
That's because I...
Out of my life.
Oh, God, did I?
Come so close.
And it's in the great Albert Brooks movie, Modern Romance.
You were the one who told me to not file for divorce. You remember that?
I don't remember that. I probably told you not to get married in the first place, but no.
You told me a lot of things. And
yeah.
I did a lot of things.
You should listen to more than half of them.
I listen to everything you say. You helped me a great deal.
Well,
where are you now when I'm spiraling into
a bump? Apparently, I'm looking for sugar substitutes.
So what are you doing? How'd the thing in L.A. go? You're on 24, right?
Yes, I was on 24 for a season, and it debuts Sunday night. There's 2 episodes Sunday night, 2 episodes Monday night.
How many shows did you take?
I did 24 episodes out of 24.
All of them?
24
yes.
out of 24?
Yes.
Holy crap.
FBI agent Janice Gold.
Well, in fact, you know, Janine, we have a clip.
What?
Yes, and if you
Who
could,
knew?
Why don't you set it up for us?
I don't know what the clip is. How could I set it up?
Oh, you don't know what the clip is?
Why would I know what the clip is? I was coming in here to get sugar substitute. I didn't know you guys were doing a show.
That's a good point.
And I want to know, why would you collect clips?
Did we get a clip of her?
Yeah, we actually have a clip.
That is the biggest coincidence in the world.
It's so weird.
Well, actually,
we're
all very proud. We were going to promote the show anyway.
Yeah, with or without you.
All right, let's take a look at the clip. You can watch it right over there.
Watch on the monitor?
Yeah, there we go. You ready?
Madam President, you need to order the pullback.
I won't be dictated to by this madman.
Emmy Award winner Kiefer Sutherland.
The FBI has been compromised.
They've got a shooter on top of the Columbia building heading south.
In the most critically acclaimed series on television.
You were great in that.
Oh, wow. I was so much part of the action.
Can
you give us a couple of lines?
Can we take another look at that? Let's isolate that because that was a great clip.
You know what the strange thing is? I'm a computer genius on the show. Isn't that funny?
Let's watch that clip.
They're probably reloading. And back, look down.
Perfect.
Now, so what
kind of lines did you have on that?
I had lines that are so absurd, although in episode 7 or 8, I do get to say, somebody better wake the president, which I'm thrilled about because that's a...
Did you look up from a computer and go, somebody?
I was doing something like this, and I discover something, and then I say to one of my coworkers, somebody better wake the president.
Was that at 2:30 in the afternoon?
It was, I don't know what hour, between what hour and what hour.
Was that how you did it? Was that the line read on that?
Well, no, the original line read I did is, somebody better wake Beyonce. Because she can do anything. That's what I say. Because when I'm in trouble, you know I look to? Beyonce.
Hell yeah.
Because she is an Uber woman. She can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and if you like it, you better put a ring on it. That's what I say. Or don't.
Who's Beyonce?
Hell yeah.
Beyonce is, from Destiny's Child. She's that lovely, light-skinned black woman who's
dating Jay-Z.
Honey.
Married to Jay-Z, right?
No. I think they're just dating.
Else? No, they got married. Didn't they get married? Somebody.
I don't know if it's Jay-Z. Is it?
Didn't Beyonce marry Jay-Z?
Yes.
So who's a pop culture genius today? That would be me.
Mark Maron.
I'll say. You've also been doing some other work, Jeannie.
I've just been doing some stand-up comedy, and then the three of us will be doing stand-up together
on February 12th.
February 12th.
I don't know if I'm going to do stand-up.
I'll show some films, but that'll be at the Tribeca
92nd Street Y,
the Tribeca. The Tribeca Sister Club of the 92nd Street Y.
Remember Gerald?
200 Hudson
Did you
Street.
Say,
I do. Hello.
Okay.
200 Hudson Street, 9 p.m., Thursday, February 12th. Sam Cedar, Mark Maron, Janine
Garofalo. There's actually more people probably on the bill.
Paul F. Tompkins.
The show, so it's not, we're
spreading, though. We have people all over the world watching this show. But what I was talking about specifically, Janine, was your wonderful voiceover work on the Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers, stop dieting, start living.
But that was great. Did you feel good about that?
I felt real good about that, especially when they pay me to do it. Although, you know what?
Well, you get paid
it's not
to
all
do
fun
it.
And games. There's actually lots of different ads, and you know how advertising people can be very persnickety about what they want or don't want.
Yeah.
They'll say, could you do that line again with more of a smile in your voice? Or they'll say things that are impossible to accomplish.
Right.
And then also I had to do all the phone numbers of every single Weight Watchers outlet across the country and in Canada.
Did they say you could do this?
There are hundreds of them in a row, rapidly.
Did they say, could you do that line like you just lost all the fat in your voice?
Yeah, similar. Things like that.
When I did a voiceover once, someone said, we want less urban hip and more suburban wink.
See you later, Riley.
They'll say stuff that... Bye!
The callback to another day.
Can't be accomplished with your voice. That can't be accomplished, or at least not. I can't seem to accomplish them. But
so now you actually do this for money?
I do it for money. Oh. Yeah, I don't do it for the love of dieting.
I'll tell you what you don't do for it. See, Sam and I are both kind of on diets.
I know.
And Janine, there's a story today. This is a true story that apparently in the recession they're concerned with because poor people are disproportionately fat. Full of diabetes because mm-hmm. they have to buy cheaper food.
Right, and corn syrup, the processed corn syrup.
Yeah, processed corn syrup and just bulky, sugary, mm-hmm. More food. And I see it on a couple levels, that this might be the more of a Republican solution to the problem of poverty, is that this is perfect from a Republican point of view because they'll die more. Mm-hmm. You know, the more fat, the more sickness, and then the poor will just die off, except for those who actually survive on through to the Depression when mm-hmm. famine will become an issue. But then you start thinking about healthy alternatives, which Janine brought today. She went to Whole Foods and bought us vegan cookies. But if you think that a vegan diet or eating from Whole Foods is going to keep you less fat, that is not true.
Why? What are you gonna? Don't expose me to what I don't read that package when I.
No,
eat
I know.
Food.
I'm not blaming you.
And I bring
you.
My own bag to Whole Foods.
Yeah, but I'm not.
I brought my own bag.
I think it was a wonderful gesture. But since Sam and I are counting calories, guess how many calories in one vegan cookie this size?
Oh God! I eat like two of those a day.
You're gonna make Janine cry.
I won't cry, but go ahead.
420.
Are you serious?
In one of these, 420.
Can you just turn this way so we can get a close up?
I have amazing? Like 840 calories of that every day. I have
that's half your daily intake of calories.
Well, no, then I sometimes eat some other
coffee.
Kind of.
But
I have coffee. Here's what I do. Here's my regime, people. Yeah. This is my fitness regime because you can't get this cadaver-like finish without a lot of work. I wake up in the morning and I have a Red Bull first thing. Sometimes a diet soda, cigarette,
Diet Red Bull,
a sugar-free Red Bull. Then I stave off eating as long as I can. More coffee, chai latte, soda, cigarettes. Then at night, when I can't take it anymore, I eat as much as I can, as fast as I can, and then I go right to bed.
Do you throw up ever?
I think we got to take
sometimes
that.
Sometimes I do throw up because I eat so fast. No, I don't throw up for the reason you think.
You don't purge?
I tried in college and didn't
like
work.
You eat because you're just shoveling food into your face?
I eat so fast.
Like a Tim and Eric routine?
No, it's not quite that gross. I'm just a super fast eater, and sometimes I'll throw up. Doesn't stop me from eating.
Right. I know that vegan is not supposed to be healthy, but sometimes I think they actually load these things with calories.
Why would they do that? So it's a meal replacement? 800 and that is
420.
I know. I ate two.
Okay, so that's
840.
Yeah, right. Times two.
That is crazy. I didn't look
good?
At that on purpose. It's delicious.
How is that not going to be
it's
good?
Delicious.
Is there any way that can't be good? Seriously.
Oh God, I want to buy that.
It's so good.
I have not had a cookie in almost 5 days.
Did you know that the Army is now relaxing their weight restrictions? That it used to be that you had to be a certain weight and have a certain body type or body fat type.
Now, this is after relaxing their restrictions on
everything.
IQ, on drug use, on
criminal felonies,
and...
That's like the last piece of the puzzle.
Age, I think they've raised the age you can join to about, I think it's like 84 now.
But did you see the commercial? For the weight loss thing?
No, they're actually using this in a commercial.
Can we run that commercial?
You want to be Army strong, but you're civilian soft. You want to be all that you can be, but you're just way too much. You want to be an army of one, not an army of ton. If you look like this, we used to say no. Now, if you look like this, we say yes. With the Army's new Way to Stay program, you'll be a lean, mean, fighting machine. Sergeant Jeff Meyerson lost 83 pounds. Private Stanley Winters lost 56 pounds. And Corporal Reed Hastings doesn't even eat solid food. We're lowering our standards so you can raise yours. Join the Army. We'll take anyone.
Stop dieting. Start living.
That, I think that is just out of control.
That is... Look,
sick,
I'll say
right?
He lost 56 pounds. But you know what? During the Vietnam era, there's actually a book that came out about this a while ago when I was working here, where there was a theory that some of the people at the Pentagon put forth that was allegedly never put forward. Some guys at the Pentagon said, we want to create a new species of soldier, and it's called military man, where they would actively cultivate the mentally challenged, certain types of mentally challenged people could be utilized as fighting machines. And this was a way not to... No.
Oh.
More quiet.
I'm sorry.
They didn't want to have to start drafting college-educated, but more white people, more middle-class people, because it was looking like in Vietnam they were going to have to dip into the more upper-class
people, the
wealthy,
part,
the
of
wealthy part of society.
That would then begin to actually increase the pressure to end.
Exactly.
The war.
So there was a plan put forth to start in a sort of covert way, to start cultivating and enhancing the paycheck, you know what I mean? Like trying to talk parents into allowing their kids to do this. Also going to prisons and jails, rehabs, things like that, to find people that had no future. They were considered basically lost causes that could be dispensable, society wouldn't object too much, and it would be a species of soldier called military man. And they would be utilized only to be fighters and to die.
It's like suicide bombers. Colin Quinn and I both had a similar premise where why don't they recruit the really depressed?
They will.
You know, to a certain extent,
willing.
They've achieved the same way by having an all-volunteer army because you have, in some respects, you know, the argument has been from all the pro-war people is that, look, you can't feel bad for these soldiers because they all signed up.
Right.
When they signed up, they knew that they were going to end up doing something.
No, that's so much. First of all, you don't know you're going to be lied to. You don't know you're going to be used that way. You don't know you're going to have to stay there for 20 years. You don't know you're going to be redeployed.
And a lot of times it's an alternative to prison or to poverty. I mean, it's desperation that drives them there. It's not like, hey, they're
the government
they're
knows this.
Or college,
they know that they're disposable.
They
know that they are disposable people who probably don't vote or pay attention for the most part. And it's a false argument to claim that we are being elitist by saying things like that. It is the government who is well aware of who tends to go into the Army. And it's very different than people go to the Citadel or Annapolis or all these people that go right into officer training. That's totally different.
Yeah.
These are people that...
Oh, that's the upper... That's
like,
the aristocracy.
Like Bristol Palin's boyfriend.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They have to go into the Army.
Yeah, to get off crime.
And they don't mind the poverty. You know, the government doesn't mind that there's more poverty because there's more people going into the Army.
Well, there's
going
to be plenty of it now because these numbers that came out today, Sammy,
unbelievable.
It's more than unbelievable. It just supports that whole idea that this new economic stimulus proposal is maybe going to balance. It's going to get it to level.
Well, his plan in October was to add 2.5 million jobs. As of the last job report, we lost over 2.5 million jobs in 2008. 1.5 million over the last 3 months.
524,000 in December. Is that possible?
And
524,000.
And in addition, those numbers do not actually reflect the fact that you have 3.4 million workers in the past 12 months who are now involuntary part-time workers. They either had to cut back on their hours or they're working included in the employment ranks. They're working because they absolutely need
to
get
a job.
That's
right. And who knows whether or not they were able to
keep it. So that's usually like a second, a second breadwinner in the family type.
Who knows whether they were able to keep their health coverage or what kind of benefits were slashed. I mean, really, when you give that option, like we're cutting back, you have a choice. You can stay here part-time, you can lose part of your health benefits, or you can go try to find another job.
And
I mean, it's got to be the way it is. I mean, but these numbers, is this true? 11.1 million people were unemployed in December. And in addition, 8 million people were working part-time, probably involuntarily.
Right. And so these numbers are huge. And in fact, the unemployment rate now at 7.2% is the highest level since 1993, January 1993. Janine.
Yes.
Little pop quiz for you.
Sure.
Who was the president in January 1993?
Was it George Bush Sr.?
In the first 20 days, it was, in fact,
and then it
George
was Bill
Bush
Clinton.
Sr. So George Bush has effectively time-traveled mm-hmm. back to, I mean, the Oedipal implications of this are fascinating. In fact, let's wash this now.
And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. And we're gonna have a good time there.
George Bush is not taking this lying down. He gave a statement today. He expressed some, I guess you could say, sympathy, empathy with those people who have lost their job. Let's watch George Bush's pardon for the day.
All right. Only 10 more days for me to play out the string, to be the give grace commander-in-chief. I want to pardon the half a million of you this month who have quit their jobs to make me look bad by increasing the unemployment numbers. I forgive you for trying to ruin my economic legacy. Well, you failed. Unemployment rate's only at 7.2%. It's not a 12 yet. Now, you know you are not a criminal. All right, so I just want you to stop being lazy and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, swallow your pride and go ask your dad for a job. That's what I did. Look around, okay? Does your father have friends who are Arab sheikhs? Have you looked into a baseball team? You know, you can buy one with no money down. And you can do all that stuff still while you're drinking a lot of booze. Believe me, you can't do it. All right, so you're not bad people. You're just a little misguided. Now get back to work. You're pardoned. Be free. Be free. Work will make you free. Mocked and fried, wherever the hell that is. All right, my job here is done. Jetpack. Engage. Look at all those people in line. Hey, get out of line and go get a job.
We have jetpacks now?
Oh, yeah. George Bush has
jetpacks.
Jesse,
of course. He's got all
kidding?
Didn't you see Batman?
No.
Any of them?
I didn't see Dark Knight.
You didn't?
I know.
You were in
Why
it.
Why are you talking
I wasn't
like
in
that?
Dark Knight. This is in the 90s. I did
Why
not
do
see
you
Dark
say
Knight.
I didn't see Dark Knight.
And I apologize. But
you know what I did not see? Benjamin Button.
But I could give a flying, you know what, about Benjamin Button.
I didn't see it either.
I could give that and
did
Marley
you?
And me. I could give.
Yeah, I didn't see. Did you see the wrestler?
Sweet shit.
Oh,
yes,
I saw.
No,
like, I saw.
But
like
I want to see the wrestler.
With, Marley and me.
Did you see Slumdog Millionaire?
No, I hear that's fantastic, fantastic.
Did
I meant
you
to see
the Reader.
Yes.
The Reader's trippy.
Saw the Reader.
Is that the weirdest
read the
story
reader.
You ever heard of yourself?
Yeah, I had read it though before
oh, you did?
Seeing it, and
did you guys
sat in Revolutionary Road.
You know what you probably haven't seen either? Is this horrendous pilot Sam was in that we're about to pay attention to.
What is it?
Oh, yeah, it's Casual Friday.
Yes.
Every Friday, we
I forgot
do
my denims and my dungarees.
We do a little
Someone
segment.
Asked if you were wearing Rapture wear.
Oh, I've got I left my Rapture hoodie at home, but I do have my Rapture knee socks on, and they say, who farted?
That's the
I got raptured up, and I had to leave my shoes behind with the Jews.
Someday you know we're going to get Catherine Harris
We will
show.
Be taking questions with Janine, and we got post-show chat after this.
Right.
We're going to talk about Blagojevich. We're going to talk about sludge, mining sludge, coal sludge. We're going to
Joe the Plumber.
Joe the Plumber
in Israel.
Yeah.
He's heading
mm-hmm.
to Israel. We've got more to report on that.
You can text me if you have my phone number.
We'll ask
you
Janine
do.
To give us her reaction on Sarah Palin.
But now it's time to laugh at Sam.
Yes. Now it's time to for a segment we call I Could Have Been Somebody. And this is from a show called Grown Ups, not to be confused with Boys and Girls, which we saw. Did we see Boys and Girls last week?
Yeah.
Was it last week? It's where I kissed Nancy McKeon.
Ooh!
You never saw that.
From Facts of Life.
That's right.
Oh, my.
This show was done for, I think it was either TriStar or TriStar. And you'll notice that Julie Warner is in the...
She's adorable, Julie Warner.
A faux pregnant Julie Warner.
Uh-huh.
And this one I play an expectant father. And in fact, I guess presumably after the pilot, we would have had the baby. So I would have been a young father.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you a funny story about the
Bill, kid. Are you trying to push me out of frame, Bill?
Seriously. He pushed me out, too.
Are you trying? Bill.
He's just focusing on Sam
Bill,
as Sam's talking.
Come on.
All right,
this is uncomfortable.
Here's a clip from the...
So, are you guys going to the fajita shack tonight?
Oh, yeah. Happy hour awaits.
Oh. But you're not going, right, Phil?
Are you kidding? Why would Phil miss a Thursday night?
I just thought because of Rena's condition, maybe Phil wouldn't go.
No, Phil's going, right, Phil?
Well, Phil?
Well, Phil?
Well, Phil?
Well, I would go, unless Rena... Because then I wouldn't, I don't know if I'm going.
Take the beeper. You'll only be a half a mile away.
Yeah, but honey, it's loud at the shack. I mean, what if I don't hear it going off?
Turn it on vibrate. Yep.
Honey, if I clip it onto my belt, I mean, there's a thickness. I'm not going to feel it.
Put it in your pocket. Got it.
Well, yeah, I feel it there. All right, let's go. I'm driving.
That is just like a parody of the of a sit.
Like Sam wringing his hand.
Yeah. And then I don't know if I'm going. I don't. That whole thing. But boy, you look thin. And
you know,
you always look good. But
Brendan, I was telling this to Brendan the other day. Like we've gone through like six of these already, right? These sitcoms I did, and the only emotional reaction I have to this is like, God damn it, I was thin.
Yeah. At that.
It's not like I could be a millionaire now.
Well, you look good now.
I'm working on it.
But that's one of the things about...
Vegan cookie? I'm going to spend 410 calories?
420 or 10. 20.
420.
I wouldn't even spend...
I need a diet soda after that. Does anybody have any dollar bills? I do in the office. Should I go get them?
I think I got a dollar.
So anyways,
okay.
Here, let me tell you this very cute story about the little boy.
I'll get you a soda. Oh, you know what? I only
this
have
is
a 10.
With the little kid. He's a six-year-old kid.
You got a dollar.
What they do for the lighting is that they actually bring in like a dwarf.
Right, a dwarf for the stand-ins.
And
someone bring us a dollar. Please.
I watched this six-year-old meet his first
dwarf.
Dwarf, I guess.
Baby's first dwarf.
And he says to the guy, "How old are you?" And the guy says, "I'm 32." And the kid just goes, "How old are you really?" And the guy goes, "No, I'm 32." And the kid's just like, look in the face of the kid as he's processing this. And the guy explains, "I'm a little person. And some of the, you know, we're just shorter, but we're older. You know, we age like you age, but we're shorter." And so on the last day, show is wrapped. The kid and I had sort of bonded because it was really the only person I could talk to on the set. And he's getting all weepy, and we hug, and he says, and I say goodbye, and he goes, "Say goodbye to the little people."
He couldn't do it himself.
Well, I could never figure out if he was actually referring to the kid or if he was just saying, like, all the non-actors.
The little people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, folks.
So, can I ask you one question?
Well, let's save it for the chat.
No, how do they make the pregnant lady pregnant looking? What do they stick under
there? They use a faux... pregnant
belly. But is there weight to it?
Julie Warner's a teeny tiny thing. She's small.
Do they have weight to it, though?
Yes, they do. They have sand in them.
Oh, really? All right, so post-show chat, you can text me. You can IM us.
Cedar MBS.
The show's over already?
Or MBS Cedar.
No, we go into a post-show chat.
Is it MBS
chat.
Cedar?
The first half is over. Yeah.
What is the IM? Do you remember?
Cedar MBS.
Cedar MBS. And
email.
We will see you on Monday.
Our email
is breakroomlive@gmail.com. And
I watch Amy Goodman.
We'll talk about that.
No, we're not.
Show chat.
Already, we have a text. I'd rather watch a rabid mongoose. You can pronounce it either way. Check
clean its ass and see Sammy kiss Nancy McKeon again.
Wait till you see next week's sitcom. Your wish has been my command.
That guy just begged you to play it again.
We'll see you Monday or right after the credits for the post-show chat. The past six.
That's right. You used to be in every pilot and stuff.
I did about 10 pilots.
You could have bought a building. That's like that's like $1 million.
What's that?
Yeah. And look at you now.
Look at me now.
We're in the break room.
Look at me now.
Where'd you stay when you were in LA for all that time?
Chateau Marmont.
Was it beautiful?
It's nice. It's a very comfortable place to stay. Very comfortable place to stay. It doesn't have all the modern amenities. You have to let go of a lot of things when you stay at the Chateau.
I was in LA for a couple weeks, and once in a while people come up to me, Janine's in town. Do you know that? I'm like, I know she's here. Were you over at the Chateau? She's like, no, I just saw her walking quickly.
I know. I saw you walking the other day.
Like, everyone sees Janine like,
because I walk everywhere
down the street.
I saw you walking the other day. What are you doing?
Are you okay?
What are you up to?
Couple of quick stories. Right. Illinois House of Representatives voted to impeach Governor Rod Blagojevich 114-1.
Who's the one? Is that his best friend? Who the hell's the one?
It says here Steve Blagojevich. I don't know who
one.
It is. But the trial, now of course, you get impeached in the House and then you go to the Senate for a trial to see if the impeachment...
Well, what does a senatorial trial look like?
We saw it with Clinton.
C-SPAN 2.
So there's testimony? There's just testimony,
it's like a
committee?
Yeah. It's very quiet and slow.
And basically what the impeachment is like, almost like an indictment.
He's basically impeached if they approve it.
Which is hard to believe that they won't. I mean, at this point. But
did anyone see what went on in this press conference? Did you get word of that? Nothing? Could somebody tell us? Is our doggy dog around? Our dogger dog is in Blagojevich's office. What's going on over there?
And we also...
Cold sludge.
...came out Thursday, yesterday, that when Boris testified in front of the impeachment committee, that in fact he had contact with someone from Blagojevich's office. How problematic that is for him, we don't know, but he had claimed that he had no contact with anybody. So the circus that is the Burris appointment will continue on.
I got it. Red Cap Biker, you should do an Angry Chef episode weekly. It is a great bit. I'm shooting one this weekend.
The Secretary of State has thrown Burris's nomination back to Reid, says BCC Pipes. As you remember, the Secretary of State had basically said, like, it's not necessary for me to sign this, for the appointment to go through. I don't have veto power of it. The Constitution is... So it's Harry Reid's problem. Harry Reid is fucking this up incredibly.
Please tell Janine that I, in parentheses, Sean, have the biggest crush on her, but in a creepy way.
I appreciate the candor and the honesty. Tell him thank you.
Thank you,
Sam.
Sean.
Tell Mark he was crazy on opening Anthony today. Funny, but he really got some stuff off his chest. Sam asked Janine what her next major project is. Man, I love Janine.
Thank you. My next major project, I have no idea. I might be doing a series for USA next season.
It's good.
Created by Stephen J. Canal.
You're kidding!
No. Why?
He did Cobra!
Yes, he did. And the A-Team, and Knight Rider, and the Rockford Files.
Carl Perry and I were the Cobra fan club.
We used to send letters and talk to the Canal
production office on the phone. We would record it, because we would send them in requests as to what...
I'll ask him.
Has anyone seen Carl Perry?
No.
Carl Perry used to be the stand-up, if you don't know. You wouldn't know him, but he was a very a sweet man.
Who actually lost his temper, threatened my life at one point. Ask David Cross.
But he had mental problems.
Yes.
He had mental problems. Mm-hmm. He drank a lot. But he used to live with me and David Cross. And I remember when we all lived together, it was like this weird comic frat almost, at Bill Wilson's house.
Yeah.
And if there was porn on TV or somebody that Carl liked, he would get up onto the TV stand and start humping the television set. It was the funniest thing I'd
ever seen. He was very funny. Well, when he was living, David Cross, Waterman, Earl Waterman.
At Bill Wilson's?
No, this is in Somerville.
Right.
I remember the story.
And who else lived there with David? Was it Mark Rivers, maybe, or somebody?
No, it was...
Kozlowski?
Paul Kozlowski, maybe? Somebody, but another comic. And I was staying there, and late night I was talking with, I think, Earl.
Yes, I think Waterman was trying to hit on you.
Oh, right, yeah. But we were also just talking.
Right.
And Carl, I guess, could hear us through the wall, and he came out with a butter knife or a knife and just threatened me. Do you ever shut the fuck up? Shut up! And he was holding a knife, and then all of a sudden David wakes up and walks in the room and goes, oh, God, Carl, calm down. Then Waterman goes, when Carl goes back to bed, into the kitchen, pours everybody some scotch.
Yeah.
And sits down and goes, I don't even know what to say about that. And he was shaking.
Oh, my God.
And so David and Earl had some scotch, and then I just packed up my stuff and left to stay with Helene Landry.
Oh, wow.
That's scary. Who has a story about Carl delivering furniture? Was that Sarah?
That was me.
That was you?
Yes.
Oh.
Carl, we were up at the Silverman's house up in New Hampshire. John Benjamin and I,
mm-hmm.
and because he was dating Laura and I was dating Sarah at the mm-hmm. time, and we're up there. It had been about four years probably since I've been in Boston, and maybe it was 3 years. hadn't seen Carl since I left Boston,
or even thought about it. Probably
we're sitting on their deck, like their screened in deck. Carl walks out of the back of the house into the deck, and I'm like, Carl, what's up? And he's just like, I have not heard back from Cannell. Like, he picks up the conversation about our Dudikoff fan club.
That is unbelievable.
Without missing a beat. And at one point, he's
well, that's funny, though.
And I go,
like,
what was he doing there?
And I go, Carl, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I was moving furniture with Bromowitz. One of his brother-in-law. Somehow uh-huh. they became friends. I was just helping him move furniture.
So it was just coincidence.
Yeah.
Total coincidence. But he didn't even acknowledge, like, hey, I haven't seen you in 3 or 4 years. It was just, he thought we were still engaged in the exact same conversation. I've got other stories that are probably not right to tell about
But Carl. Stephen J. Cannell is actually a great guy. He's looks like Jack LaLanne. He's like 70-something. A series. And he's unbelievably physically
fit. He did Rockford Files.
Yes, that's
which
what,
was
that's why I contacted him. That's one of my favorite shows.
My favorite show, too.
So I contacted him and asked him if we could do a show sort of similar to the Rockford Files.
Really?
And he's, luckily for me,
someone is screaming on the blog, Warren is in Africa as we speak.
Burning condoms.
Condoms.
Yes, Bush and Chains has Rick Warren. That's his big thing. That, you know, his work in Africa has to do with it's anti-AIDS, but it's also anti-prevent.
Someone wants to know how your father's doing.
Carmine's doing okay. We weren't speaking for a long time because he voted McCain-Palin, but we made peace on Thanksgiving.
MM Rules wants to know. Says we love you, Janine. How about Palin? Why don't you? What is your take on Sarah Palin at this point?
Well, she's done that more recent interview where she is saying that Caroline Kennedy will be treated with kid gloves because of her social class.
It's unfortunate for her that came out after Caroline Kennedy was
great timing. The Palin.
Really attacked.
The Palin. Yeah, I know.
The Palin has a good timing.
And that Tina Fey, she sort of alluded that Tina Fey's popularity this
ruined
year
her,
is because
her
of no, because of Sarah Palin.
Well, you know, I got to say, to a certain extent, the Palin impersonation was sort of like the sort of straw that broke the camel's back for.
But Tina Fey was
well, of course,
on the cover of Vanity Fair and stuff before that.
She of was, course, she was big, but this brought her into like sort of like the stratosphere.
It was good. That was a good bit, right?
But uh-huh. and what the fact that I was so easily mockable,
mm-hmm.
And she did it so well.
But she played along with it too.
Of course she did. She's now just rethinking it. She also claims that Katie Couric was being rude when she asked what she read, what news she read.
Being rude.
Sarah Palin also got a huge benefit out of Tina Fey.
Of course.
It humanized her in some way.
Here we go. Jan, I do love Sister Amy Goodman, but I'm glad to see Janine as your first celebrity guest. Good karma will come to your secret internet show.
What do you mean secret? Oh, I guess.
Because nobody knows about it.
But I don't know, are you a first celebrity guest? I guess in this room, on the break.
In the break room, maybe, but maybe you've had other...
Fernando asked if Tina Fey took advantage
special,
of Sarah Palin.
Wonderful one.
What does that mean? What does that mean,
what?
Honestly?
What?
Can a comedian take advantage of a political figure?
I would say that if a comedian is being cruel, and if they are definitely exploiting...
What do you think of Fred Armisen's...
And they can harm people,
yeah, what do you think?
That would be bad. I didn't see the Fred Armisen-Patterson impression, so I can't answer that. But I do think that Tina Fey, in this case, is completely beyond reproach because she just repeated what Sarah Palin
said. That was genius.
Do you think that you ever took advantage of Catherine Harris?
Would you even consider that?
Well, she and I meet once a week for brunch at Pastis, and because they have the best fries. I mean, really good fries and gravy. So we've never discussed. If she feels taken advantage of by me, she's never mentioned it over brunch. I always pick up the check, though.
Oh, that's... Wow.
So, why don't you show the one about me?
Is the Bullwinko Emporium still across from the Chateau Marmont?
It is not. It's now a Pinchy's Tacos.
Did you want to talk about Cole Swedge for a minute to get that off your
chest?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's do this Joe the Plumber thing.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Ready.
You know
ready.
Joe the Plumber going to Israel
yes.
to cover mm-hmm. the thing?
Yes.
I've already stated that I will take back everything I've ever said about Joe the Plumber if he reports with either a real microphone or that is in the shape of a plunger. I mean, if he actually...
That's I thought you say like a dreidel
or something. Will be brilliant.
Maybe if it was a scepter-like plunger that had a cross at the
or
top.
Or like a crunk
given what he said
goblet.
The other day.
A
AP
crunk,
story.
Little John Crunk goblet.
That was in Times
it.
UK. Here it is. He was asked, is he scared that one of the Hamas rockets might have his name on it?
That'd be great.
Not really. Not really. After all, he explained, he's a Christian, so God will keep him safe. Being a Christian, I'm pretty well protected by God, I believe. Can you ask
our dog a dog in Blagojevich's office.
We missed the press conference.
He said we missed one of the most surreal press conferences
so
ever.
So you've got Joe the Plumber saying that his Christian God will keep him safe over there. The implication, of course, is the reason why Jews and Muslims are dying in this conflict.
It's because they have not accepted
because
Jesus.
Because they don't have a Christian God.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Joe the Plumber, I think, has a genuine frontal lobe or neocortex problem. I think there is genuinely something wrong
with
him.
Did you take that press conference?
So, it's and hopefully there will be a missile
Before he
with
took
his
the
name
lectern,
on it.
Farmer Gillian says... Where is Farmer Gillian? All right, this is getting a little bit. Did you move this?
I did not touch it.
You did.
I did not touch it.
Screwed it up.
I'm not.
Can't. What the? Who the?
Who quoted Tennyson?
Blago press conference. Before he took the lectern, a group of supporters stood nearby, including babies in wheelchair-bound Illinois citizens. That was like, who's that? Tom Reynolds. When he was the head of the DCCC and the Mark Foley thing came up, his first press conference, he surrounded himself with small children. So that nobody, and somebody asked the question, can you ask the children to leave so that
hold
we
up
can,
the baby. Hold up the baby.
So
hold up the baby.
Our Mark Foley.
Our dog just said he brought a band of miscreants on stage.
He doubted all his legislative efforts and basically ignored the House vote, vowing to fight on just to say, I've never wanted to watch 24, but only do so because of Janine Garofalo.
Oh, that's very, very kind of you. Although, I don't know. The first two episodes, the scripts anyway, were very exciting. I don't know about the rest of them, but...
Sweet Lord,
you know
there
what?
Are 24.
There are 24. But the first two, I found the scripts quite compelling. But I don't know. I don't want to be responsible if you watch 24 and then you feel like you've not enjoyed it. But that's very kind of you.
Harold, can I is Janine still beating?
We started beating. Yes, I am. Making jewelry. Not as much as before.
If you usually
I love Portland and the Crystal Ballroom. That was a great show. Yes, I try and go to any local bead shop anywhere I'm doing stand-up in the city. And I'm always looking for good cord, too, just the right bead cord.
I just want to say that I am not losing it, Sam, and you know what it means when I say this. I've never had such clarity.
Right, it means you're losing it.
I've never had such clarity.
Since the last payment to your ex-wife, or
just in general? Just in general.
Dr. Ferguson says, is Janine going back on Fox and Friends again?
Oh, look at this. He
right
said,
our
dog and dog just said he's sending us some tchotchkes from Blagojevich's.
Oh, awesome. Oh! Awesome.
Bobbleheads?
No, I'm not going back on Fox and Friends. They have mocked me, though, over the years in my absence. And at one point, even talking about how wrong I was. And,
well, yes,
and Joe Scarborough did that, too. And I got the Crow Award from Joe Scarborough.
One of his fans handed... Was that from Scarborough?
I thought it was from Scarborough.
No, I think that was like somebody else.
I'm almost positive. Someone. And I got the Crow Award for eating crow for being wrong. But
has he called you to go back into his morning show?
No. Michael Savage gave me biggest...
What a pussy.
Biggest Hollywood phony. Because you know me. I'm a big Hollywood phony. And Bill O'Reilly still is waiting for an apology.
waiting for an apology?
But Fox and Friends have, since that time, occasionally mocked me, but they've never asked me back
yes,
on again.
Yes, of course. Someone
You're
said,
all embarrassed.
Someone
said, Janine, show us your tats.
I think Janine should join full-time. There's some nice chemistry going on here.
But,
oh, I wasn't going to read that tat thing because I thought that was actually something that was...
There's
was
one.
Like some,
liberal. There's one. There's more.
Didn't you get a new one?
It's not really new, but it's... Can you see that?
Yeah, I'll zoom in on it.
This is Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter, yeah.
Yesterday, the day before, Mark talked about some people living in denial about the state of the economy. I just quit one of my three part-time jobs because I had two consecutive paychecks bounced. My boss insisted that the agency is not having financial problems. Speaking from experience, not from this exact building.
Listen to this. I was off work for 6 months after I was forced to close the nonprofit agency I worked for 12 years in 2007 and managed to claw my way back to about 80% of my income working at three part-time jobs. Now I'm back down to about 70%. The economy is not bottomed out yet, especially if you're a government or nonprofit worker.
It's headed there. Well, I think, you know, what we're going to see is actually more government spending. So it's probably not a bad time to be working for the government, and I think hopefully there'll be a lot more people working for the government.
Are we working for the government?
We're all part of the Matrix.
We are, right?
We are all in the Matrix, whether we know it or not.
VRM, I'll be
Daughter of the Devil is excellent, by the way, Sam.
Oh,
love
thank
it.
You. I don't know if that's actually going to come back. I'll be the one to ask. Do you have anything coming up, Sam? Voice work, etc.
Sam got cast in a movie with Meryl Streep.
And, you did?
No. We...
That was the most.
Marin and I both auditioned for a part in a movie.
A small part in this.
And we were
Nancy
talking
Meyer
about
movie.
It yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Did you not even go to the audition? Was the audition fake too?
No, the audition was real.
Okay. I was convinced that I was fake as well.
Benjamin called me, and I pretended like it was the casting director, and I'm like, "Oh my God, thank you! Oh yeah, tomorrow at the Park Regency Hotel, of course." Mm-hmm. You know, and I got off the phone. I'm like, "I got the part. I'm going to meet the director tomorrow."
Just to watch me spiral into a narcissistic threat.
And it was
excellent and Almost Famous. I just saw that on cable.
Oh, thank you.
You were very good in that.
Thank you very much. I don't know
the
why
worst
that
part,
didn't...
Everybody here in the office then thought that I was doing this movie and I had to go around.
And you know how him and Benjamin commit to this shit? So he's telling me, it's like, yeah, I'm meeting with the director tomorrow at the Regency. So I'm like, you know, okay, Sam, all right. And then it gets to the point where I got to go back and read. So I'm telling him, because I think it's bullshit, that I'm going to tell the casting director that, you know, that you're really excited about it. He's like, yeah, please tell her, right? So I get to, and I'm still not believing him. Then he manufactures an email from a fake manager's assistant to forward to me to prove, and this is going, and it keeps going. And Jonathan or John Benjamin already tipped it, so I know it's bullshit.
How do you not assume that's what's going on? If Sam put a fourth of the energy into his acting and comedy career that he puts
into pranks?
His pranks
because
and his little films, he would be.
We had the best.
Just
laugh.
Where he was in the '90s.
Because I knew it was bullshit, but he refused to let it go. Pounds. He refused to let it go until right now. He's on the phone with Nikki, and he's saying, "Okay, well, I'll get out of here by 4, and we can be on the road by 4:30." And I knew that he had forgotten that. And so I said, "Well, what about that movie thing?" And he's busted, right? But does he say he's busted? No. He starts like I start laughing, like crying laughing, because I'm amazed at his inability to let it go. Mm-hmm. He's gonna get. You know, he goes, "I got to call her back." So he calls Nikki back,
and I go, "Nick, I can't go."
It's a matter of pride.
And I'm hysterical.
I gotta go. I go, "Nick, I can't leave now. I just remembered I got that meeting with that director at 4:30," and she's like, "What?" And I go, I got that meeting up at the Park Regency.
You didn't even do a fake phone call? You didn't even have
to
really call
it. I know, stupid, because I hit the button, and she's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And I go,
And I'm hysterical because he will not let go, even though I know it's bullshit. And I'm still, part of me still trying to hear her on the other line because I don't think that, like, hear her voice because I don't still think it might be true.
So how did your audition go?
They were for really small parts. You know, it's one of those parts where, like, I literally the amount of time she told me what the character is doing and what she wants for the character was, like, about 15 minutes longer than the line that I read. They went okay. Sometimes I'm, like, I'm so intense that, like, smaller parts are, like, because, like, it's right. One line and I'm like, "What do you mean?" You know, it's like, "Ah!"
You're trying to make the most of it.
Right. And so I don't know. She had me back twice for two different things.
That's good.
But what scared me the most was that the character breakdowns for the first two parts I read for, one was over 60 and the other one was 50.
But you know, like, these days, they will never, they will never really cast old people. But what that really means is it's code for like a 40-year-old.
You could read over 60.
But they will never really bring a 40 or I mean a 60 year old or a 50 year old in, but they will. They will have 40 year olds.
No, I kind of felt that. The one thing I noticed about that clip from the Sam thing, the pilot, was that you have a face built for glasses. You really have to wear your glasses.
Why? When I do this, my
no, most people who wear it all the time, like myself included, when I take my glasses off now, I look like a larva.
Do I look weird without mine?
Oh yeah.
Actually, I'm just used to you with them.
Right, I guess that's what it is.
But you actually don't look weird without them.
It's just everybody looks—you look strange.
Like Doug Benson when he takes his glasses off.
He's been wearing them a lot less now.
I know.
I think he might have got that surgery.
I've been thinking about that.
I actually like.
I mean, I'm not thinking I would do
it. I like to wear mine too.
What it would be like when I find out when I'm 70 that like it was a horrible mistake.
When we were on the radio,
there are some people whose LASIK is backfiring now.
I wouldn't.
Some people love it though for a little while.
It has because it was untested, and there are people who had it.
When I meet somebody who had LASIK, LASIK 25, 30 years ago, then I'll do it.
But does it just?
Well, there is. I do know that there are people now whose LASIK is 15 years in, 17 years in. It's problematic. They're getting double vision, and it's going bad.
Well, we shouldn't. You know, we should just say that's rumor.
That's a rumor, and, therefore not actionable at a court of law. That's a rumor.
And if you pay
allegedly,
us, we will promote it.
Mark is typecast as the gay cop. What does that mean?
Oh. Sam, do you want to give the post-show chatters a chance to pre-vote on
my glasses?
Glasses?
Yeah. Well, no, we'll do it.
I think
Monday.
You look good with or without, but I think most people look better with their glasses.
But let me ask you something.
No, but I've been using the other glasses that I had because Mila broke these other ones. I had two pairs of these. Uh-huh. I'll explain it on my
With the LASIK, okay. do they regress back to what it was?
No, I guess they do something where it makes it perfect. They reshape, I guess, the cornea or something is lasered or shaped differently, so your vision is
But
good.
When it goes bad, does
what,
it...
Well, it was never tested. I mean, it was a
Brendan
new thing.
Brendan knows what it is, right? You know what they do with LASIK, right? Because don't you do that
Aren't they reshaping the cornea
Brendan
or something?
Brendan does it part-time. That's
no,
I never go to a guy that doesn't do it full-time.
I don't have full-time frames and lenses. But
no, I'm talking about LASIK. Don't you
work
perform
contact?
LASIK surgery?
You're a part-time LASIK performer.
You
No, my mom had to have the her eyes.
Brian! Come back in!
Come on in.
Janine's
We're
here.
Just talking about LASIK.
Hey.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, say hello, Colin.
Hello.
Hi, Colin.
Was our first board up.
That's right.
He was our first board up. And
really?
Our favorite board up.
Of course.
Actually, no. Pat was our first board.
Pat
was that's right. Now he's a policeman.
Yeah, I actually hear from
him. And you recognize Colin? People from he appears in many of our sketches and skits.
Mm-hmm. All right, Colin. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
Hi,
by
Janine.
By the way,
love you.
That was riveting.
Phil from Miami. Hi, Janine. I love you.
Hi.
Let's see.
But you have contacts. You don't wear.
No, I don't have contacts.
So you were telling us about your mom.
She used the LASIK tech because she had one of those eyes that goes like all
lazy
the way
eye,
and they basically popped it out and fixed it. You know, like
is she happy about that?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be?
Putin. This is not Iggy.
Iggy Pop. Who in the world would confuse Vladimir Putin with Iggy Pop?
Wouldn't it be great if Iggy Pop...
Iggy Pop would die if that
the
was
the leader of Russia.
Rubin. Robert Rubin leaving Citigroup. I wonder what that means.
With a briefcase full of cash?
No kidding. No, jinx.
Jinx.
You guys.
George Bush would love that guy. Three uniquely American jobs. Okay, right. Ask Janine about San Francisco Comedy Fest next week and The Hills reading with Rob Riggle.
Yes, I am.
Thinking about going.
I am going to Sketchfest where I'm doing a Hills reading. Rob Riggle is participating. I'm also doing some stand-up and moderating a panel about the state, the comedy troupe, The State, with Tom Lennon, Carrie Kane, the Reno 911 people, and then also Stella.
Wayne going to show?
David Wayne.
They're all going to be there.
Those guys have gotten
more mileage out of that show on MTV. Because you know what I realized? And this is not bitterness.
Well, it's also
is
the
that
yes, it
they,
is.
No, it's not. That these, the, when they got their fans, they were like 10 or 12.
But not just that. They've kept up relationships with the fans. They've also had other shows like Stella, Viva Variety.
No, I know, but it's like,
Reno,
can you imagine that? Having like fans from when they were 12?
Well, it's a specific time. You know what I mean? Like they were at the right place at the right time. And then they also utilized the internet to keep in touch with these people as they got older. Yeah.
They were at the right age to go to like midnight movies of Not American Summer.
That's right. That's and so they were really responsible about that. I think they understood the
email
list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Responsible. Hear that, Sam?
I feel like I'm like 2 years away from that.
But I'll see you at Sketchfest.
Oh, so funny when Sam and I...
We did a... At Eugene Merman's Comedy Festival, I moderated a panel for this...
Apartment 2F, I heard it was hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
The Sklars were taking it seriously.
I think there were some questions.
And your first question was, did you ever imagine that 15 years on you would have accomplished so little?
Janine, Janine, someone wants to know if you are romantically involved with anyone so we can have closure on whether to fantasize about her or not.
Well, you are always welcome to fantasize about me, which would be better than the real thing for you, for your sake, because I'm not looking too good. But yes, I've been with the same gentleman, Pete Caldas, since approximately 1998, on and off. But we're living together now for the last 3 years.
Wow. Here's someone says, had LASIK 8 years ago, still 2020.
Congratulations. Good. Congratulations.
Tunis Brando wants us to talk about the UN pulling humanitarian aid from Gaza. It's Casual Friday. I have a feeling we'll talk about
that's
that.
That's going to open up a whole can of worms that we can't even explain.
The whole Gaza thing, you know, the Obama's equivocating on that is embarrassing, and I don't have a lot of hope that Hillary Clinton will do the right thing.
I think they're going to look to the Obama administration to actually pull them out, help them get out of Gaza, use it as an excuse. So I actually think we're going to see that, but we'll see. Hayes says, please tell Janine I miss her on the radio very much. I wish she'd come back, though I can't blame her for staying out and keeping her sanity intact. Don't Be a Putz says, why does Janine seem to generate such hate in the comedy world?
What?
Is it because you don't play the industry game?
No one hates Janine in the comedy world.
It's
the regular world, the right-wing world.
Hate in the comedy world? Oh, no, now I have to go into paranoid mode.
Yeah, no one hates you.
Don't Be a Putz. You're a putz. Is Joel Surnow still working for the government?
Probably.
Janine Trivia. Don't look.
Oh. Bill Murray lives on my street.
Name the 1996 Bill Murray film starring Janine as some kind of elephant expert or zookeeper.
Larger than life.
Which Gene Siskel referred to as the always funny Janine Garofalo.
I think the movie was called Larger Than Life.
All right, so
Bill Murray lives on my street, which is a great get for your neighborhood.
Right here?
Yeah, down.
Over there?
Oh, Tim Johnson, Chicago, says he misses your music. What is a cool album he should buy?
I really like this band. They're not new, but The National. I also love the Fleet Foxes.
Really?
Yeah, I like that very much.
What about Band of Horses?
I love them. Everybody loves Band of Horses.
Fleet Foxes?
Where are they from?
Fleet Foxes.
Where's Band of Horses from?
Band of Horses is from North Carolina or South Carolina.
I like them.
But I also like Northern State.
I made Blagojevich a clown.
We'll talk about the coal sludge on Monday.
But get the National.
And let's see.
Sorry, definitely.
My wife's birthday is tomorrow. Due to the current economic crunch, we can't afford anything until maybe the next paycheck, but I have to do something special. Do you have any suggestions?
Make some jewelry. Make her a bracelet or a necklace. Go to a bead store or a craft store and get some supplies to make gifts.
Yeah, if you make her a gift, it will... I mean...
Or if you can draw something. It's a little
bit late to start working on this, but...
You can make some jewelry very quickly. You could draw or sketch something. You could paint something with watercolors.
A mixtape.
That takes
for
time.
Who?
His wife. You could make cupcakes, cookies.
Your wife?
Not my wife.
This person. You could just make her something, even if it's a drawing.
Dude, jewelry. Always.
But you can go to a craft store and get some interesting things to put like a mixed media thing together.
Like a collage. And then you can just tape an iPod on it, on the collage.
But he can't afford to spend too much.
So you gotta make
something.
Steal some jewelry.
That's just a joke.
All right, well, we gotta go. But Janine, will you say that before we go?
Yeah, when do you want to say it?
Well, just we will see you on Monday, folks. Janine, thanks for joining us.
Peaches!
All right,
timings.
Folks. See you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.